after the CBS News.
Swimming in your lips, tasting infinity, a moment is all right.
The program you have just enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. 4,000, the number of American lives lost in Iraq.
While offering deepest sympathies to the families of fallen Americans in Iraq, President Bush renewed his vow that those lives will not have been lost in vain, and that the outcome merits the sacrifice.
You know, one day people will look back at this moment in history and say, thank God there were courageous people willing to serve because they laid the foundations for peace for generations to come.
Calling this a day of reflection, Mr. Bush said his strategies in Iraq are aimed at making sure victory is achieved. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Earlier in the day, the president meeting with military advisors. They are pushing for a pause in troop withdrawal from Iraq, a pause with which aides say the president is likely to agree. The mayor of Detroit, facing a bunch of charges, including perjury, calls that he should resign. Dan Webb, attorney for Kwame Kilpatrick, says let's wait and see.
We need a chance to go in front of a jury of the mayor's peers here in Detroit. We need to have all the evidence heard and let that jury speak and make a decision. It's my prediction he'll be exonerated.
Among other things, it is alleged the mayor and his aide lied under oath about a romantic affair. Prosecutor Kim Worthy.
Our investigation has clearly shown that public dollars were used, people's lives were ruined, the justice system was severely mocked, and the public trust trampled on.
The sounds of post-flood cleanup across America's middle. In Arkansas, muddy water from an historic crest in the White River reaching the middle of front doors, flooding through screened-in porches near Des Arc. Mississippi River expected to crest about 8 feet above flood stage in Caruthersville, Missouri, on Wednesday. Sandbags continue to be piled up along open gates in the levee that protects that city. Endeavour, heading home, Space Station Commander Peggy Whitson thanking the crew today.
We had a great time with you guys. It's a lot of fun spending time with people that you can laugh and joke with. And we did a little of that as well as getting a lot of work done. So, thanks.
The space shuttle is due to land back on Earth Wednesday. Sirius Satellite Radio wants to gobble up XM Satellite Radio. And after 13 months of going over the deal, the Justice Department's giving a thumbs up today. Home sales up. First time in more than 6 months. Home sale prices declined still, though. So
the key question here is, you know, if house prices are down 8%, how much further do they have to go? And what a lot of analysts are saying is this is by no means the end to the fall in housing prices, that they could go down yet another 10%.
Now, that housing report, good news on Wall Street today, along with word that the buyout of Bear Stearns by J.P. Morgan Chase is being adjusted. That $2 a share talked about earlier, now 10 bucks. The Dow today gaining 187 points. The NASDAQ up 68, S&P 500 up 20. This is CBS News.
Jackson, go tell Brinkman to speed things up on the job site.
That's a long way, boss, but I'm on my way. Message delivered, sir.
One more thing. Run back and tell him that...
We really need Nextel Direct Connect. Oh, I think I pulled a hammy.
Connect at the touch of a button with Nextel Direct Connect from Sprint. Get the rugged new i335 by Motorola. Just $29.99 for your business account. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel or call 1-800-SPRINT-1. Sprint. Ends 4-1908. Excludes taxes. Subject to 2-year agreement. Up to $36 activation, $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit. Available corporate liable activations and eligible upgrades only. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, in a typical utopia, you spend hours frolicking in lush green meadows and splashing around in crystal clear waterfalls. But in an auto insurance utopia, you can compare Progressive rates to those of other top companies all in about 8 minutes, leaving you plenty of time for, well, frolicking. Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates available in most states and situations.
Netflix, suffering a technology breakdown.
There's a movie waiting for you at home. Netflix.
Yeah, maybe not. The glitch preventing its 7.5 million subscribers from making requests on its website. Trouble knocking out the Netflix website at about 7 this morning remains down this afternoon.
Abortion rights before the Supreme Court today, but less than a landmark decision, as we hear from CBS's Barry Bagnato.
Abortion rights advocates worry the conservative-leaning Supreme Court will someday upset the status quo, but the justices have given them a small victory. They've turned down an appeal from an Arizona County sheriff who objects to transporting inmates to abortion clinics. The sheriff claims a court order should be required. Judges in the state disagree.
Snake bit. Identified as a coach at Yorktown High in Virginia, he reached into his luggage after returning home from a team trip to South Carolina when he felt the sharp fangs of a foot-long canebrake rattlesnake. The coach is recovering. No information as to whether the snake might have been put in his bag deliberately. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Today's most fuel-efficient midsize cars can get about 30 miles per gallon. In a hybrid car, about 50 miles per gallon. But the CSX trains that bring those cars to you, they can move a ton of freight, 423 miles, on a single gallon of fuel. Too bad we can't all drive a train. Go to CSX.com to learn more about our commitment to protecting the environment. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here, too.
Walk your street, and I walk mine. Would you spare me some time? 'Cause you should see my world, meet my kind, before you judge all my blue collar.
I happen to be sporting a blue collared shirt today, and it reminded me of Bachman Turner in Overdrive. Overdrive, I don't know whatever happened to him. On today's program, we're going to do some bush bashing in the first hour. The author of the GOP Haters Handbook will join me in just a moment. Also on our program today, author and professor at Georgetown University, Jacques Berlinerblau. Got to say that again, I'm practicing. Berlinerblau will join us. His book is called Thumpin' It, The Use and Abuse of the Bible in Today's Presidential Politics. Timely? I would say so. Robert Dreyfus, a contributing editor at The Nation magazine and a friend of ours, will join us at the bottom of the next hour. And he's written a powerful piece about John McCain and his temperament or lack thereof. And it's called Hothead McCain. We'll get you the details. And to kick off the free speech zone, we're going to talk to former Arcata City Councilman David Meserve about his efforts to ban recruiters from contact with people under the age of 18. That's military recruiters. It's called the Arcata Youth Protection Act, and the petitions are out there in circulation right now. You're welcome to call the program. In this hour, we've got some rewards for you. I'll explain in a moment. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Or if you don't like what I say, and there are a few of you, you can try full of it at peterbcollins.com. It will get my attention one way or the other. Jack Huberman joins us this hour. He is a writer and a writer, and he lives on Long Island. Oh, and he's an erstwhile architect. We'll find out what that means. Jack is the author of the book in my hand. It's called The GOP Haters Handbook, with 378 reasons never to vote for the party of Reagan, Nixon, and Bush again. Jack, welcome to our program today.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. And your publisher has been kind enough to donate 5 copies of your book to give away this hour. And we're going to make it easy for people. All they have to do is name one of the 378 reasons never to vote for a Republican again. And it could be as simple as a name. And I'm going to take one out of circulation right now. Dick Nixon. All right, that sets the example. Anybody from Nixon forward pretty well fits into this near encyclopedic volume. And I have to say, Jack, you've done a fabulous job of taking information and infusing it with your attitude. And you seem to have no shortage of attitude.
Well, Peter, this is what I do.
Yeah?
But thank you. By the way, I think I went back to, I did go back to Calvin Coolidge.
Yeah.
But I left a gap in between, but that gap could only, I may have left out Hoover. I think I jumped directly from Calvin Coolidge to Richard Nixon.
Mm-hmm. Well, just for simplicity, we're going to go...
That's because the more recent Republican administrations demanded so much attention.
Right. Now, tell me what your writing space is like. I imagine that it is cluttered with Bush-bashing books. I have a bookshelf here straining under the weight of books that are entirely critical of the Bush administration or him personally. And I also have a lot of horizontal space here that's just covered with books and clippings.
I think I can top that. I think I have an entire shelf of Bush-bashing books that I haven't even gotten around to reading yet, in addition to the other shelf. Well, I'm looking at a lot of books right now. I've got I'm looking out at the water, something that San Francisco folks might be able to relate to. I'm on a bay
mm-hmm.
at the eastern end of Long Island, about 90 miles east of New York City.
So then this Bush bashing is kind of lucrative. Is that what we can infer, Jack?
Actually, I'm in a well-known area. I hope you're not hearing that feedback, and I don't know where it's coming from.
That's the NSA. I think I got it under control now.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that all the time. Well, yeah, I'm in a quite well-known area called the Hamptons, but there are a lot of misconceptions about the Hamptons, and people don't know that there are, speaking of blue collars, blue collar areas of the Hamptons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I am.
Okay, great. And what inspired you? This is not your first collection. You wrote Bush It, 101 People Who Are Really Screwing America, and The Quotable Atheist. But what took you to compile this volume?
Did you mention the Bush Haters Handbook?
Well, I thought this might be part of it.
No. My first book was the Bush Haters Handbook. That kind of started me in the Bush bashing business back in 2000. And, well, it came out in 2003. But I'm proud to say that I started working on it at the end of 2001, at the height, I mean, I conceived it at the end of 2001, at the height of Bush's popularity. And, you know, it's amazing to think, speaking of those shelves full of Bush-bashing books, that at the time, no one wanted a Bush-bashing book. No publisher wanted one.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you could not find a bad word about Bush anywhere.
Well, he was canonized shortly after 9/11, and that made him kind of almost like Mother Teresa. You simply couldn't criticize him for a while.
But that was exactly what one of the things, anyway, that made me. No, believe me, you know, I was, you know, inwardly ready to write a Bush bashing book before he was even selected.
Mm-hmm.
It was that, you know, that really kind of spooky 1984 feeling in the months after 9/11, that sort of unanimity of flag waving and, you know, criticism of Bush meant you were a traitor and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was obviously, you know, I had not forgotten that there was a domestic program as well, or that you could look at 9/11 itself either as half glass full or half glass empty, from if you want to put it awkwardly, clumsily, in that when Bush's popularity hit, his approval ratings hit 94% after 9/11. I wanted to know why people weren't looking at the fact that this occurred on his watch. far from, you know, having earned any, you know, he hadn't earned political capital. On the contrary, as far as I was concerned.
No, he was just a victim and a uniter, not a divider. Hey, Jack, the other thing I do is I collect Bush bashing tunes, and this one's called Bush It. See if you can identify this.
First he went and stole the election. Supreme Court made the selection. The corporations gave the direction. They said, Bush it.
So I've had this one for so long, I can't actually remember where it came from. Have you ever heard that one?
I think I've heard it, but I'm afraid I can't identify it.
Yeah. I have a bunch.
What don't I win?
You win a copy of your book.
Yeah, okay.
We're talking with Jack Huberman. He's the author of the GOP Haters Handbook, 378 Reasons Never to Vote for the Party of Reagan, Nixon, and Bush Again. Let's take a call and get some inspiration to dive into the book. It's Mark in San Francisco. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Pretty well, thanks. Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to talk about why I think impeachment should be on the forefront of everything we do here in America right now, because you know, when we go to this election and,
okay,
and we're hearing
Mark,
the talking
Mark,
points of the
hey,
Republicans.
Mark,
yes.
Mark, the thing is, we're talking about Republicans today. And right now, the subject here is the GOP Haters Handbook. And I've got a free copy of the book. If you can, you know, just pick a topic of one of the 378 reasons never to vote for the Republicans again. And it could be impeachment if you want it to be that, but not prospective for Bush and Cheney.
Well, what about the stolen election?
There you go. I'll bet Jack's got something on that. Jack, go ahead.
And actually, if you don't mind my saying so, I had no problem with the topic of impeachment. On the contrary, it's been one of my real frustrations in this election season, in this election year, that what's really missing, I had hoped that this campaign was going to be a kind of a national debate and referendum on the Bush administration. That's what it needs to be, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I have to say, a problem I've had with the Obama campaign, which more than any other seemed to want to say, let's look forward, and is, you know, very forward-looking, and that's great in a lot of ways. But there's too much of a national tendency to never want to look back.
Mm-hmm.
And to do an accounting, you know.
Right.
If
hey,
ever
Jack,
we needed.
Jack, I understand. The reason I kind of was trying to steer Mark is that I talk about impeachment almost every day.
Oh, okay.
I am in favor of it, but the Democrats aren't listening. And so I was trying to keep on topic related to your book and the Republicans.
Well, let me just look. Yeah, go on.
So that was my purpose, not to try to curtail anyone's free speech, Mark or Jack.
Peter?
Yes, sir?
Yeah, well, what I wanted to bring up, the reason why I think impeachment should be on the forefront now is because the talking points would be on the destruction of what the administration has done to this country, and it wouldn't be on, you know, Obama's preacher. It would be more on what the Republicans have done. And it, I mean, right now, we are seeing that our media has basically just turned its back on a criminal, you know, administration. He should be impeached. They should be writing that every day. And right now, the talking points are about Obama's preacher, when it should be about all the destruction of the Constitution, the 4,000 dead Americans for no reason, you know, the destruction of our economy. I mean, there is so much that we could be talking about with the Republicans right now.
Amen.
And because there's no impeachment, there's no focus on really what the Republican Party has done to our country.
Well,
that's why I think with impeachment, we would be bringing all this forward, and it would be strong for the Democrats, because this would just hone in on why you don't want McCain or any other Republican in office.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Mark, I am with you. I believe in full accountability. I brought this up with John Conyers last week in Washington. He doesn't want to talk about it anymore. He doesn't even want to hear about it. Yet, you know, I do feel, like you, that it's important not only to have full disclosure about how we have been misled, but also to identify those who did the misleading. And I do think that the Democrats have unilaterally disarmed, and we're paying a price for it. So sorry, Mark, I'm out of time. We're going to a break here.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had.
If you'd like to get your very own copy of the GOP Haters Handbook, call in now with one of the reasons never to vote for a Republican again. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B.
Treaties cause he could, struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt, let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout, we'll all feel better in the morning. Passionate conservative, my ass, in executions unsurpassed.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me, at Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's a pizza paradise where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Here we go, starting another war.
We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is the author of the GOP Haters Handbook, 378, count them, 378 reasons never to vote for the party of Reagan, Nixon, and Bush again. And, Jack, you would think that after all we've been through, the nation doesn't need a book like this, but I think you performed a valuable service. And I just turned to page 182. And, for example, some people have probably already forgotten J. Stephen Griles. The rapacious resource extractor who went to work at the Interior Department under that visionary gal, Gail Norton.
Right. I'm trying to remember where he wound up. Was it back as a lobbyist or in jail?
I think he's back lobbying, but he has a court case to defend because he bought a house with Italia Federici.
Right.
Who shows up in your your reference here?
She was head of a kind of a green scam group. Mm-hmm. I haven't kept track of her recent whereabouts either, but kind of a, you know, it was a Republican front group for business interests that purported to be an environmental group.
Right.
There are a number of those.
And I have the distinction. I even have the email posted on a corkboard here. Gail Norton will never talk to me again.
Can you tell me why?
I interviewed her, and I asked her questions that she didn't want to talk about.
Okay. Well, you know, that's you should feel honored, I would say.
Okay. Let's go to Gil in Arcata. Welcome, Gil. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you very much. And my first time call, I really enjoy your show. You have a lot of great guests like the one you have now, and I've really always learned something from your show. As the reasons for never to vote for Republican, they're a bunch of crooks. The Teapot Dome scandal of Grant's administration looks like a puddle compared to what these guys have done. I mean, you have the lobbyists running the agencies that are supposed to be regulating the industry. They come from the industry, they stay at the head of the agency for a while, and then they go back to running the agency. So,
and I'm looking for it. I think there's a K Street entry, right, Jack?
Yeah, right. They just take a bus from K Street to the White House and back to K Street.
I don't think they take the bus. Jack, do you want to add to that?
Well, I just think, you know, it's been on my mind lately that John McCain was, just to kind of bring this up to the present, just as he was known as a maverick on issues like torture, as an outspoken opponent of Bush administration policies that he has now kind of done an about-face on and seems to have simply embraced everything that this administration has done and wants to do in that area. He was also, he used to speak out against the role of money, and maybe he still does. And, you know, it was one of his main themes was we've got to do something to get the, you know, to reduce the power of lobbying money in Washington. Corporate money, and well, he now has 62 lobbyists working on his campaign.
And some of them doing it for free. They're volunteering because they've made so much money as lobbyists that they don't need to be paid from his bankrupt campaign. So that's interesting. Hey, Gil, you shouldn't have hung up so fast. We're going to get your address and mail you a book, so call us back. There's one line open, Gil. Call us right now, 888-5-PETER-B.
So I think I just, can I get something in there?
You got 20 seconds. Go, Jack.
I just wanted to say I think it's important for people to realize that I don't really think that McCain, you know, this is not something, an act that he's putting on to win the right wing in order to win the, you know, he doesn't have to win the nomination anymore. He's got it. I think this is what we can expect is a more or less a continuation of the Bush administration.
Well, and he ought to get his warring parties in the Middle East correct. Maybe they can give him some flashcards or something. We'll continue with writer Jack Huberman and give away more books after a break here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Franklin Templeton Investments. Their unique perspective helps them see domestic and international markets in a different light. Franklin Templeton Investments gain from their perspective. I'm Charles Osgood. With 4 months to go before the Olympic Games in Beijing, the Chinese are pulling out all the stops to impress the world. They're taking no chances, spending $40 billion to remake the infrastructure of the ancient capital. And they're already spending an estimated $100 million a year and putting 50,000 people to work to make sure that even the rain is controlled. Beijing officials say they will set up several banks of rocket launchers outside to seed any threatening clouds with silver iodide so that they drop their rain before they get to the capital and not fall on the opening or closing ceremonies or anything crucial in between. The story after this.
This is a rate alert for March 2008. The Federal Reserve continues to cut interest rates aggressively. Right now, mortgage rates are hovering near lows we haven't seen since 2003. National mortgage leader Quicken Loans reports interest rates around 5.99% on secure fixed-rate loans, APR 6.13%. Smart homeowners are acting quickly to get fixed rates around 5.99%, since rates this low seldom last long and tend to move up quickly without warning. Call Quicken Loans at 800-591-3522. In minutes, you can lock in a fixed rate around 5.99% and enjoy lower house payments for years to come. If you missed it in 2003, this is your opportunity for a fixed-rate mortgage around 5.99%. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-591-3522. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call 800-591-3522. That's 800-591-3522.
They say everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. However, at several places throughout China, including an installation called Fragrant Hills outside Beijing, the authorities have set up anti-aircraft guns and rocket launchers. People manning these are wearing military fatigues and helmets, but they're not really military. They're civilian peasants charged with shooting down any rain that may come and threaten the games. They're already practicing shooting silver iodide into the clouds for this purpose. According to the state-run Xinhua News Agency, the China Meteorological Administration has 6,781 artillery guns and 4,111 rocket launchers dedicated to this cloud-seeding effort. The agency says they've succeeded in increasing rainfall in needed agricultural areas by 210 billion cubic meters, enough to meet the water needs of 400 million of their 1.3 billion people. American scientists are skeptical. Dr. Andy Detweiler of South Dakota School of Mines and Technology, editor of the Journal of Weather Modification, has looked at clouds from both sides now and doubts the Chinese can either make clouds or drive them away. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're talking this hour about the GOP Haters Handbook.
Who can take California? Set it on its ear.
Set it on its ear.
Stop it in its tracks and take it out of gear. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man. girly man can.
The girly man can,
cause he messes with my mind and makes my world a pain in the you know what. Who can take a budget?
Who can take a budget?
Put it all askew.
Put it all askew.
Bow to special interests and a lobbyist or two. The girly man.
The girly man.
The girly man can.
We're talking with Jack Huberman. His new book is called The GOP Haters Handbook, 378 Reasons Why You Should Never Vote for the Party of Reagan, Nixon, and Bush Again. And Jack, from the comfort of Long Island, you did a pretty good job on the governator.
Thank you.
I love the way you riddle your commentary with titles of his movies.
Thank you. Well, I know that... let's see, The Running Man, some of the others I've seen seem to have been thought of independently by other writers. There was one that was very obvious, remind me, not The Terminator,
The Sexual
Total
Predator.
Total Recall, that was it.
Oh, yeah, Total Recall was one, and Twins, and you worked in a reference to Predator. So I think you did a good job of capturing, including the way he has drifted from left to right. We're now on Arnold version 4.6, and we're not sure where he will go next. From your perspective, what is the most intriguing thing, either critical or positive, about Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I'm a little uncomfortable talking to a California audience about this because, you know, there's... probably for your audience, what I say about Schwarzenegger, these are really the basics. What's the most fascinating? Well, I mean, you can just start with the very fact that this was the second time that a person had reached high office just based on a show business career. I mean, no, not the second time. I'm sure there had been others, and there was Jesse Ventura and so on. But, you know, it might have seemed like just a freak thing when Ronald Reagan became president. But it started to look like a dangerous trend to me when another sort of action hero got as far as he did based on that sort of career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it has been very interesting. The groping episodes that were prominent at the time of the recall campaign gone away entirely. They never did really fully investigate or prosecute that. His connections to Ken Lay of Enron, that's never been fully investigated either. He really has skated on most of the issues that related to his suitability for office, if you will. And now people just kind of say, oh, yep, he's our governor. I guess we just got to ride this one out. Very interesting. All right, let's go to John in Carmel Valley. John, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Jack Huberman.
I have a slogan about Bush that's sort of the reverse of Churchill's complimenting the RAF after the Battle of Britain. It's never has one man wreaked so much harm on so many and gotten away with it so continuously, stayed so invulnerable, and stayed so undeterred. How do you explain that?
I take it that was a question.
I wish it weren't true.
Yes, it is true.
I love that question. I think about it a lot. I'm not sure I've ever come up with anything conclusive about it, but what is the question exactly? Why have people voted against their own economic interests? That's one aspect of this. Why does the media let the Bush administration get away, have a free pass on a lot of things?
And Jack, there's the overarching question about his competence that you tackle on page 222. Is Bush, dumb?
That's one of my favorite pages in the book, actually.
Is Bush a shrewd actor and manipulator of popular anti-elitism, or just a frickin' idiot? I believe you can be both. There's no question that Bush's handlers and speechwriters have made a virtue out of a necessity and exploited his synaptic difficulties for ignoramus appeal in the aforementioned Reagan-Bush Sr. anti-elitist faux populist tradition. Well, it is true. They played him off against Kerry in 2004. Kerry is so French. We never knew why, but they used that French angle and his windsurfing to make him seem so elite. And Bush, you know, Harvard and Yale is just one of the boys.
Exactly. Never mind the fact that his family was a powerful political family going back for several generations with homes and compounds in various places. It was an amazing feat of sleight of hand on the part of the Republican Party and the Bush campaigns.
It's all marketing. John, thanks for the call. Hold on.
Yeah? Please. Don't go to Washington anymore. That's where liberalism and progressivism and all good isms go to die. Go somewhere else to get inspired, please.
Well, gosh, John, I survived it, so thank you.
Oh, I know. Thanks. I'm sure there are a few good things there, but I can't see them anymore, so you kind of lose me when you go there.
All right, thank you very much. Hold on, and we'll get your address and mail you a book, okay?
I can't read all I've got, please.
All right, you're very...
I don't mean to be unkind or not wanting it, it's just I know I shouldn't take it.
Okay, that will be so, John. We have difficult callers today. We have very high standards. Victor in Sacramento, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, mine's not as high standards as this because I've been very fearful on the phone here for the last 10, 15 minutes waiting to get through. My topic is the FISA courts and the eavesdropping.
Well, they're listening to you right now. Can you?
I know. I probably want to call you, but doggone it, you kept me here so long. Now I think I'm on their list.
All right, Jack, what do you have on FISA, eavesdropping, and general rollbacks in our civil liberties?
Well, I just think it's very sad that when all was said and done, the Congress went ahead and simply legalized what the Bush administration had been doing for several years. That's not the way I hoped it was going to end.
All right. That's very well put. Anything else you want to add, Victor?
No, it was just more. As I was on the phone waiting, it's like I went through about 10, 15 different items.
Uh-huh. Well,
I just kind of kept going, which one did I want to talk about? And I guess this was probably about one of the bigger ones that I been bugging me.
Well, Jack and the Bean Counters at Nation Books did tally it up in 378 minimum reasons, so you have a pretty good chance of connecting here, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Victor, hold on. We'll mail you a book, okay?
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Appreciate that. And let's see, Mildred in Coos Bay appears to be on line 4. Hi, Mildred.
Well, hi, Peter B.
How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Ticked off at Republicans, as usual. I have two issues, but this will be fast.
Okay.
I do not like neoconservative liars, and then it really upsets me that the Republican Party, the rest of them, whatever, you know, stripes they are, you know, stand up and say amen. The real thing that is bothering me is Bush lying about weapons of mass destruction being in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
and the issue of the Downing Street memos, which was in the liberal progressive media, being paid attention for a while, and now it's like it just fell off the radar. It seems like all of the stuff, the dirty tricks, the lies, the impeachable stuff, it falls off the radar, and people just kind of forget or don't talk about it.
Did you see that movie, Men in Black?
Yes, I did.
And you know how they had
the thing that makes the memory go away.
Yeah, the neuralizer.
Neuralizer,
well,
that's right.
They've got all these kind of gimmicks that they use, sex scandals, you know, anything to change the subject. How about somebody's pastor? You know,
exactly.
Let's go long on that. That'll keep them off Iraq, Iran, the deficit, the crunch on Wall Street. I mean, it is very effective.
Well, it blows me away that there isn't more rationality in the press, and there is not enough rationality. Hello?
Yeah, we're still here.
In the Democratic Party or the other parties that are allied, with people yelling more and saying, look, what about this and what about that, and we haven't heard about it, and nothing's been resolved, and blah, 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 and,
mm-hmm.
you know, nobody's doing anything. It's just like, okay, it falls off the radar, and who cares?
Yeah, I got you. You want to respond, Jack?
Well, you said at the beginning of the show that you didn't want to talk about impeachment because you talk about it every day. But,
No. I was just trying to steer that caller because he was so intense and he wasn't getting my tongue-in-cheek presentation of your book.
Yeah.
Me May I ask my specific question?
Please.
What has happened to the issue of the Downing Street memos?
I just would say that the same that has happened with the broader subject you were just discussing, the entire deception, I mean, the entire, you know, the misleading of the country into the war, I think it's deeply depressing that it will have receded into history without any kind of, you know, formal reckoning. I mean, okay, not, you know, at least give us a reprimand. You know, if you can't, if impeachment is impossible, then at least give us something, you know, but and at least somehow it needs to be, it needs to have a higher profile in this nation's public discourse. But, you know, what also concerns me is that I think we're seeing a disturbingly familiar pattern forming with regard to Iran. It's not too late to dismiss the possibility of a U.S. attack on Iran before the end of this Bush's term.
Yeah, we talked about that on Friday, and there are concerns. We're back at it again in demonizing the Iranians.
And in a kind of familiar-sounding way, the first selling point for this was the Iranian nuclear weapons program. When it turned out that they don't have an active nuclear weapons program, now we're getting the you know, the support for Al Qaeda in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So where have we seen this before? Trying one way to set up an enemy that we need to attack, and then trying another way, and then another way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the enemy overseas, then you don't have to pay attention to the crookedness and the corruption that's going on in this country and how our Constitution is being shredded. And the thing that really bothers me is, like, in the way things are going, in 50 years, this administration, if it is not being taken to task for all the crimes that it could be impeached for, you know, held accountable for, you know, it's going to be considered an okay administration when it was one of the worst, if not the worst,
mm-hmm.
presidential administrations in history.
Well, Mildred, you are correct. And the other part of this is that there's been this interesting dance between the media and the Congress. And the media moves on from most issues like the Downing Street memos, which they never really fully investigated. And then they just present the latest ravings from the president. The stuff that he said last week was broadcast with very little challenge. Nobody, you know, went through the speech and said, well, you know, he might have hyped this a little bit. This may not even be true. They just said, well, the president gave another speech and things are getting better in Iraq. And we'll be back with more on the Spitzer scandal right after this. I got to run to a break. Mildred, you've got a book coming. Hold on, and we'll mail it to you. Jack, stay with us. That's Jack Huberman. His book is all about the GOP. It's called The GOP Haters Handbook, 378 Reasons Never to Vote for the Party of Reagan, Nixon, and Bush Again. And this is a collection of music that came out back in 2004, and it's by the group from L.A. called The New Republicans.
Remember in the weeks leading to the presidential election, the president made a selection, offers were pointing to the Bush. They kept talking about the immoral man from whom the Savior would free us. The blonde executive pain us. They gave the moral right to Bush. Gee, I did. But when the news broke down about George's DUI, well, they wouldn't change the tune. No, they didn't bat an eye. The votes were dilated and O.W. looked short. They said they had to take the matter to his daddy's home court. Mr. Bush, Mr. Bush. Use it our imaginations. Are you sorted like your patience? Let's go grab it quick.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Come fly with me. Let's fly. Let's fly away.
This is Barbara Mossberg, your host of the Poetry Slowdown. I'm inviting you to join me for a poetry reading I'm giving to support this show of my poems of 30 years called Fat Lady Flying. Me, a quivering wreck, getting on a plane, yet hoping futilely to get the part of Peter Pan or the Witch and Wizard of Oz, too plump to hoist into the harness. I release my inner witch and invite you to come fly with me April 11th, 12th, and 13th at the Cherry Center in Carmel, Friday and Saturday nights at 8, 2 Sunday matinee, right after our show here. I told my 5-year-old son and mom, if you promise to let me write this down, I will buy you an ice cream. Well, if you come, I'll buy you ice cream and a chapbook of this poem, which you will see enacted before your eyes with blue songs by Anne Marie Hunter. Go to Ticket Guys online or call the Cherry Center in Carmel, 624-7491. That's 624-7491. And I'll see you on stage, on the page, and right here, Sundays, making the morning last.
Fly with me, let's fly away.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, brought to you by...
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
Most people go to the airport bathroom to relieve themselves before their next flight. But not you. No. You're looking to become a member of the Ground Level Club.
Not what they mean by a layover.
You, Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, voted against gay marriage. That's because you want to have as many partners as you can, in as many cans as you can.
A romantic toilet rendezvous.
Come on, sir. You are gay, aren't you?
That's not what I said on C-SPAN.
So the next time you're in the airport lavatory stall and see a polished wingtip tap, tap, tapping to make your acquaintance, run away, or you might be the belle of the bathroom ball with Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman, a real American hero.
Mr. Closeted Conservative Congressman.
And we continue with Jack Huberman. His new book is called The GOP Haters Handbook. It's out from Nation Books. And he has a whole section here on sex perverts, hypocritical, Bible-thumping, gay-bashing, purity and family values preaching, philandering, child-molesting, Republican hoes. Wow, that's a lot. So, Jack, pick one. What is your favorite Republican sex scandal that's in the book?
Oh, boy.
I'm putting you on the spot all over the place here.
Yeah. Let's see. Who's the guy in the in the airport bathroom in Minneapolis?
Well, that's Larry Craig.
Yeah, Larry Craig.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a good one.
Now, what about the guy who was he was in charge of worldwide abstinence, and he showed up on the D.C. Madam's list?
Right. Right. You know, it's funny that the Spitzer affair has, I'm almost feeling a little bit embarrassed now that I did this chapter because, I was sorry to see, Elliot Spitzer go, you know, I thought we had a good governor. I mean,
I realize realistically and politically he had to go, but, you know, in my perfect world, he wouldn't have had to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way this affair has left me feeling about the attention paid to stuff like this in politics instead of the things that we should be paying attention to.
And I appear to be the only radio guy in the country who actually supported Elliot Spitzer's idea to give driver's licenses to undocumented aliens. I actually think that's a good idea, but he had to backpedal on that.
It is a good idea. I mean, I'm probably about to put my foot in my mouth, but let's put it this way. I could drive a little faster around where I live if there weren't quite as many people who drive in absolute terror of ever being pulled over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and if you have an accident with somebody who doesn't have a license, doesn't have insurance, that's not good for anybody.
Right.
Hi, Brian's on the line from Sacramento. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, Peter, how you doing, man? Love the show, always.
Well, thank you. What's on your mind today?
I definitely want one of these books, so I thought in light of and in view of today's commemoration of the 4,000 killed, that's 4,000 reasons right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the book, Jack has, 10 reasons why we went to Iraq?
Well,
and they go down by half points. There's 10, 9 and a half, 8. I don't know if I can put my finger on that page right
probably
now.
On any given day, I would have put those reasons in different order because I think I listed them in order of what I thought was increasing importance.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty interesting. I mean, if you ask people today, even, you know, 5 years later, now that most people finally know why we didn't really go into Iraq, but if you ask them what the real reason was, I don't know how many people would really know how to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I've heard, just in this 1 week alone, when I ask my Republican friends and associates what they think about that, they never have a concise, real answer for it.
Well, and Brian, Bush twisted and turned and dissembled last week to rewrite history of the glorious liberation of Iraq. And, you know, he didn't talk about WMD. He didn't talk about any of the mistakes that we made since we've been there, only allowing that, well, it might have taken longer and cost a little more than anybody expected.
And that it should be, and it was romantic. Remember that.
Yeah.
By the way, Peter.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, Jen.
If you couldn't find Iraq in the book, don't worry. There's plenty of it, but it's under O for O-I-L.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
which was actually what somebody in the Pentagon, I suppose, or somewhere, wherever they think up the... it was probably in the White House. Wherever they think up the brand name for a military operation, Operation Iraqi Freedom.
Right.
Well, they start... At first they called it Operation Iraqi Liberation.
That's right, yeah.
O-I-L, until somebody noticed.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
I thought that maybe we don't want to be quite that, that tongue-in-cheek here.
Right,
know?
Yeah. All right,
thank you so much.
Brian, you've got a copy of the book. Hold on, we'll mail it to you. Give us your address, and thank you very much for listening. And we got time for one more, and I think it's Millie in Aptos. Hello, Millie.
Oh, thank you. I nominate Abrams as the worst scoundrel that's ever been brought back out of the shadows of the Reagan regime.
That's Elliot Abrams.
Now he's back, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I believe he made the book, didn't he?
Yeah. It's been a little while. If you asked me, well, there's an index, so he should be in there because I don't remember where I put it.
I got Abramoff, and let's see if Elliot Abrams.
Yeah, there he is.
Yep, right there. Millie, you're a winner.
Shall I stay on the line then?
Please do, and we're going to mail you a book, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Jack Huberman, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks very much for having me.
It's great talking with you, and I enjoyed the book, and it's going to rest on my book bashing shelf until it just caves in under the weight of it all.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk again.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the new book, Thumpin' It, The Use and Abuse of the Bible in Today's Presidential Politics. Professor Berliner Blau from Georgetown will join me. And you can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill, who's on duty today. Grab a podcast or share it with a friend. The link is on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Some good economic news.
On this day of reflection, I offer our deepest sympathies to their families.
4,000 U.S. military dead in Iraq. This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The stock market rallied today after a pleasant surprise about the housing market. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason has details.
Sales of existing homes in the country unexpectedly rose last month, and that's for the first time in 7 months. It's about a 2.9% rise, the biggest coming in the Northeast, but the Midwest and the South also rose as well, only the West was down.
Home prices on average are down 8%. Some analysts say they might drop another 10% before this is over, but Walter Maloney at the National Association of Realtors says the February sales increase was an encouraging sign.
This is telling us that the drop in prices has reached a point where buyers are beginning to respond, and this is an encouraging sign for drawing down the inventory so that in the second half of the year, you know, many markets of the country will be seeing rising home prices.
The Dow gained 187 points today, closing at 12,548. The market also got a boost from J.P. Morgan Chase's sweetened offer for Bear Stearns and from falling oil prices. Now this.
Got a question. What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo! Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Thought so. Honda Certified Used Cars. It's the next best thing to new.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
Hi, I'm the director of a medical center that just added Aflac to the benefits we provide for our employees. It's been a very welcome addition. With Aflac, our benefits package is more like a bundle of joy. In fact, everyone at the hospital can sleep easy knowing we have...
Aflac, Aflac, Aflac.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac. President Bush today acknowledged the grim milestone in Iraq, 4,000 members of the U.S. military killed.
I hope their families know that, you know, citizens pray for their comfort and their strength, whether they were the first one who lost their life in Iraq or recently lost their lives in Iraq, that every life is precious in our sight.
He vowed that the outcome in Iraq will merit their sacrifice. Beyond the troop withdrawals already scheduled, CBS News correspondent David Martin expects a pause.
I think what is going to happen is that there will be no commitment whatsoever to any further withdrawals after the surge ends in July, but there will be a commitment to reassessing and making decisions on a piecemeal basis when another unit can come home.
One barrier to the $5 billion satellite radio merger has been removed. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has that.
The Antitrust Division at the Justice Department studied this for over a year and now declares that if XM...
This is the
is swallowed by Sirius satellite radio. That's the plan. It's not likely to harm consumers because there is competition from other sources of audio entertainment. Now the Federal Communications Commission has to rule. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Speaking of satellites, Shuttle Endeavour is getting ready to leave the International Space Station. We get a live update from CBS News correspondent Peter King at the Kennedy Space Center.
Endeavour has spent nearly 12 days at the station. Commander Dom Gorey thanked its crew for helping with five spacewalks.
Getting through those five EVAs was pretty scary hurdles to overcome, and you guys made it easy for us.
Staying behind are a new robot called Dexter and astronaut Garrett Reisman, who had this advice for his former commander.
Have a great landing. Don't forget the gear. And
they'll undock in 52 minutes. Endeavor's due back here in 48 hours, Bill.
Things have gone from bad to worse for the mayor of Detroit.
Today we have filed a 12-count criminal information that contains charges against Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick and Christine Beattie.
Beattie, the mayor's former chief of staff, and Kilpatrick allegedly lied under oath when they denied having an extramarital affair. Prosecutor Kim Worthy says recently discovered text messages show they did, and the tax dollars helped pay for it. The mayor refuses to resign.
I look forward to complete exoneration once all the facts surrounding this matter have been brought forth.
Kilpatrick's lawyer says the text messages were produced illegally. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Jackson, go tell Brinkman to speed things up on the job site.
That's a long way, boss, but I'm on my way. Message delivered, sir.
One more thing. Run back and tell him that...
We really need Nextel Direct Connect. Oh, I think I pulled a hammy.
Connect at the touch of a button with Nextel Direct Connect from Sprint. Get the rugged new i335 by Motorola. Just $29.99 for your business account. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel or call 1-800-SPRINT-1. Sprint. Ends 4-1908. Excludes taxes. Subject to 2-year agreement. Up to $36 activation, $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit. Available corporate liable activations and eligible upgrades only. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, in a typical utopia, you spend hours frolicking in lush green meadows and splashing around in crystal clear waterfalls. But in an auto insurance utopia, you can compare Progressive rates to those of other top companies all in about 8 minutes, leaving you plenty of time for, well, frolicking. Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates available in most states and situations.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
So if Jesus Christ dropped in on our presidential primaries, would he be shocked that religion, pastors, and the Bible are being used in a negative way in this year's presidential campaign?
God had a name. What would it be, and would you call it to his face if you were faced with him in all his glory? What would you ask if you had just one question?
What do you think about Reverend Wright, Jesus?
Yeah, yeah, God is great. Yeah, yeah, God is.
And while I got you on the line, Lord,
yeah,
nice job on the resurrection yesterday, but what do you say about John McCain's pastors, Parsley and Hagee, huh?
Just a fly.
Joining me this half hour is Jacques Berliner Blau. He's got a new book out called Thumpin' It, The Use and Abuse of the Bible in Today's Presidential Politics. And he is a professor, associate professor of Jewish civilization at Georgetown University. Professor, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. Good evening.
Well, good evening to you. And let me just right off the bat give you credit, because I was skimming through your book and there it jumped out at me. But for all his virtues, Obama does not lack for negatives. His spiritual mentor will certainly be of interest to the opposition research divisions of Republicans, and you put in parentheses, and Democratic opponents. The Reverend Jeremiah A. Wright is, by all accounts, a talented fulminator. I like that word. Who is full of opinions on racial injustice in America. He is also a proponent of liberation theology, and one could easily apply the tag radical to him, as anti-Obama operatives have undoubtedly already noted. Convincing the public that the junior senator from Illinois is not too far to the left will constitute one of his handler's most complex tasks. And when did you write that, sir?
I wrote that probably in June. I was doing the research for it, and the book was put to bed in August. It was known by a lot of political analysts, and there's more stuff that's known that's going to come out in the next couple of weeks, which isn't very good for Senator Obama.
Now, does Sean Hannity have a back-channel special pipeline to you?
No, I've never spoken to Mr. Hannity, never.
Because last week, speaking of fulminators, he was taking credit not only for playing these videotapes of Pastor Wright for over a year, but it just knocked me over in the easy chair that I was occupying at the moment, because he connected it to the service to the nation he provided 4 years ago when he was the first, he proudly stated, to bring us the Swift Boat veterans. So slime begets slime.
Well, How does one look at this? There's a lot of stuff back there. I mean, you don't need Sean Hannity at all. There's just so much of it. And this was widely known by a lot of people for a good year now. And I guess a lot of folks were just wondering, when's it going to come out? When's it going to come out? And it came out.
And what is your reaction to it, its role in this campaign, and then the speech that the senator gave in Philadelphia last Tuesday?
Yeah, I think we're learning that playing the faith and values card is like walking around with a little vial of nitroglycerin. It's just something that can backfire on you. And Obama was just cruising along. He was really appealing to all sorts of religious voters. And then this happened, the combustible moment. And my personal preference, of course, is politicians would just keep religion out of their political rhetoric and their policy formation, but nobody listens to me. But this is the downside. This is what happens when you aggressively insert religion into your depiction of yourself as a candidate. And it's very, very regrettable because it may have undermined an extremely competent and interesting American politician.
But, Professor, the reason this is going on, the reason we have candidates, particularly liberals, Democrats, progressives, whatever label you prefer, who are willing to be open about their own spirituality and religious pursuits, is that Democrats felt they had been losing because the Republicans own the religion card in this country.
Exactly. It's kind of overkill on what happened in 2004 with John Kerry. It's an attempt to compensate for the fact that 80%, almost 80% of white evangelicals voted for George W. Bush and essentially handed him the election. Mm-hmm. So we saw this kind of process of the Democrats all getting religion, and it seemed to be working for a while, but as far as Senator Obama is concerned, the last couple of weeks have just been very, very, very difficult.
Jacques Berlinerblau is with us. He teaches at Georgetown. His new book is called Thumpin' It. If you have a question about religion in the political campaign this year, give us a call. He's with us till the bottom of the hour. And you know the number, toll-free. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, I happen to pride myself on my active listening skills, Professor, and you alluded a moment ago that there's more to come. What do you know that you can share with us?
No, I can't. I don't want to break the story. I mean, it's known. It's stuff that's in the public sphere. It has to do with relations with various folks that Obama has in Chicago. As far as I know, this stuff is already in the public record. It's just going to take a while for the mainstream media to work its way over, fact check, so on and so forth.
Now, wait a minute. Are you going to tell us next that Tony Rezko is a Wiccan?
I thought you were. Yeah, he's a Wiccan. That's it. That's the scoop. Oh, my God.
All right. Well, if you're not coughing up, then I'll just keep going here. We've got the pastors to McCain, Hagee, and Parsley from Columbus, Ohio. And Kathy stole the New York Times Magazine. She's almost done with the puzzle, so she's going to release it to me any day now, and I'll get to read the story about Hagee, but the what's been excerpted from it is that he claims that McCain asked him for an endorsement.
Yeah.
And doesn't this put him in the same boat with Bush and Bob Jones, and to some extent with the phony connection that was created between Obama and Farrakhan?
Yeah, this is problematic. I mean, Wright is a much more difficult, shall we say, issue for a political operative to deal with, for the Obama folks, because those two are really close. And if you read The Audacity of Hope and Dreams from My Father, the senator from Illinois is unambiguous as to what he feels about this fellow. Now, I think you could draw a parallel between the Farrakhan and Hagee endorsements. I wouldn't call those two spiritual mentors or advisors, which is why I think those charges aren't going to stick. The fact that Farrakhan has said some wacky things, the fact that Hagee has said some wacky things, I don't feel that necessarily has legs in the news cycle. It's good for a day or two of stories. The Wright story is really a shocker. Now, if Hillary Clinton's spiritual advisor, who's the Reverend Dom Jones, were to have any skeletons in the closet, that would linger in the news cycle for weeks. But the guy is squeaky clean, I'd like to point out. And
right,
she's winning on the spiritual mentor count.
But there's a book coming out by Jeff Charlotte and a co-author I can't name in May about the family. And Hillary has been praying with this group since 1993. It includes Rick Santorum and right. Sam Brownback and others. And it appears to have a kind of murky foreign policy, but interaction with some questionable foreign governments.
I just heard about that book today, the Charlotte book. Somebody sent me an email about it. I haven't read anything. Do you mean in terms of premillennial dispensationalism? Is that what the charge is in the Charlotte book?
No, I don't think so. And let me see if in my mess here. I interviewed Charlotte on Friday, and we didn't go into detail about that portion of it, but I'm looking for my notes here. And I don't have the right pages. So I will try to look that up during the break. But as I recall, it had to do with support for repressive foreign governments, and that this group, the family, was kind of engaged in some things that, you know, you wouldn't think are Christian or that meet the test of continuity with U.S. foreign policy. At any rate, one of the things that I'm trying to avoid here is simple guilt by association. I believe that Hillary should be able to pray with anybody she wants. The issue is that it's become a part of the package in this campaign, a major distraction in my view, and I would like to see, you know, a firm position. You kind of articulated it a couple of minutes ago, Professor, that we simply need to separate the private religious lives of our political leaders from the public domain, the secular campaigns that are going on.
Absolutely. One piece that I wrote for the blog I write for the Washington Post, which I wish I had written more about, and I will, is I'm seeing a sort of narrowing of the idea of privacy in American political life. And it is connected with the sex scandals, which maybe you might want to discuss since they're so fun and they're so interesting. But I would absolutely agree with you. The idea that we can't, that a political candidate for the presidency can't privatize anything. There's no aspect of their lives that cannot be discussed and subjected to scrutiny has boomeranged. So the political candidates are inviting us in the most hypocritical and superficial manner imaginable into their private lives. And what we're learning is just this muck of facts about spirituality and spiritual advisors and guilt by association. And I don't think it's in any way improving our ability to assess these candidates' merits.
Oh, indeed. If anything, it's just being done to drive up the negatives of the candidates. And, I'll share some hateful comments that were relayed to me over the weekend about this very subject after a break. We're talking with Professor Jacques Berliner Blau. His new book is called Thumpin' It, The Use and Abuse of the Bible in Today's Presidential Politics. If you want to join us, we've got lines open right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Salazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain in your body. With six professionals, Cornerstone offers hormone balancing for men and women, all natural, no side effects. With our bodies filled with toxins and aches and pains, this approach works. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic neck pain for years. Trina Hammack uses a technique called quantum biofeedback, which to me is a miracle. I feel better and better each day, physically and mentally. Cornerstone offers lymphatic drainage, infrared saunas, ionic foot baths, massage, estheticians, and body strengthening specifically for your body so you'll start living pain-free naturally. Tired of taking medicine? Homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils are used. Finally, an alternative that works. Cornerstone Wellness Center, 1088 Cass Street, Monterey. Call today, 373-6204, 373-6204.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Good afternoon. Not too bad a start this Monday. We've got a little bit of problem out in Bonnie Doon. Highway 1 south of Bonnie Doon Road. Car went into a pole there. There's some wires down. CHP's on scene, but they're trying to check to see if these are power lines or telephone lines. Either way, minor delays in the area. Southbound 1, a little slow leaving the fishhook as you head down towards Capitola. Northbound 1 near 156, there was a bicyclist that was riding along the roadway there. CHP is keeping them company right now, so it could be a bit of a visual hazard, but no real delays as you travel on Highway 1. No problems being reported on 101 as you make your way through Morgan Hill and to all the way down into Salinas, for that matter. Take advantage of huge savings during Mancini's Sleep World Triple Bonus Mattress Sale. They'll beat anyone's advertised price by 10%, or your mattress is free. Call 800-64-SLEEP or visit sleepworld.com. I'm David Bruce with traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. You know, it takes every kind of people.
So the fight to make ends meet keeps a man up on his feet, holding down his job. And it's sure he can't be bought. Who takes every kind of people to make what life is about, yeah. Every kind of people
We continue our conversation with the author of Thumpin' It, The Use and Abuse of the Bible in Today's Presidential Politics. He is Jacques Berliner Blau, an assistant professor of Jewish civilization at Georgetown University, a great Jesuit institution, and I'm a product of the Jesuits, professor. The citation I was looking for, I've got in front of me. This is about the family, which is a group that Hillary Clinton has been praying with since 1993. And their history goes back in the 60s. The family forged relationships with some of the anti-communist dictatorial regimes in Africa and Latin America. In the 80s, it says here, this is from Jeff Charlotte's story in Harper's in 2003, they supported General Suharto. And then Salvadoran General Carlos Eugenio Vidas Casanova and Honduran General Gustavo Alvarez Martinez, himself an evangelical minister. So that's the linkage there. But coming back to the case of Obama and Jeremiah Wright, I am fascinated because one of the most inflammatory sound bites is when he says, "God damn America." And what he was addressing was the immorality of our foreign policy. I think the issue of the moment was the sanctions that we imposed on Iraq through the Clinton administration in the 1990s. And that women and children were dying. And I find it amazing that because he used that phrase that can be excerpted in such an inflammatory way, that people overlook his very important underlying comment. And that is that we focus on personal morality, usually somebody else's in this country. But we don't focus on public morality, and there's very little discussion on what I consider to be the gross immorality of this war in Iraq.
If only it were that. All right, let's bracket the question of Iraq as difficult as it is to do. In other words, if that were the only remark that the Reverend Wright had made, I don't think this would be an issue. But the fact that I was aware of this 7 months ago, and I certainly wasn't the first, or 10 months ago, indicates that there's this vault. Think of it as a vault of really damning statements that he had made, not only about the war in Iraq, but about, let's say, the State of Israel, about America in general, mm-hmm. about relations between the social races in the United States. There's so much of this stuff. So if I were an Obama supporter, and I don't know if you are, Peter, but if I were an Obama supporter, I wouldn't want to start getting the media to roll up their sleeves and find more, because there's a lot there. That's the problem. That's what everyone was looking at, almost agape, in the summer, and saying, well, when is somebody going to draw the correlation between this pastor and these remarks? And as I said, the tragedy of it all is it detracts from one of a person who I think is one of the most interesting and skilled politicians of his generation, and that would be Senator Obama. So I find it very, very incredible.
Yeah, let's go to Andy in New York. Welcome, Andy. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor Berliner Blau.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Professor.
Hello. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Now, I wanted to bring up the same point that you just brought up, basically. You know, when Reverend Jeremy Wright speaks a lot of the time, he brings up issues that are like sacrilegious, or they're sacred items you're not allowed to question. You're not allowed to question our policies and why 9/11 happened. What was the reasoning? What is going on in the Middle East? Why do they hate us? For some reason in the United States, you're verboten for talking about our relationship with Saudi Arabia, for instance, where 15 of the hijackers came, and how we support a totalitarian regime that lops off the heads of its citizens, you know, in the middle of the streets. It's medieval. The same thing, our policies towards Egypt, which also doesn't practice democracy. The Israeli-Palestinian issue is off the table as well in this presidential election. You can't bring up these issues. They're total red meat to the right wing, to guys like Sean Hannity. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to say that the United States actually makes some bad decisions. We have some bad policies that have to change, but you're not allowed to say that. That's sacred.
Professor, go ahead.
I think you raise a really interesting point. I'd like to look at it this way, that living in Washington now, I'm a New Yorker. I guess you guys are out in California. Is that correct, Peter?
That's right.
That
uh-huh. San Francisco.
San Francisco?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Beautiful city. All right. The thing about, I mean, I'm a New Yorker, and I've moved to Washington. And what I've come to understand is there's a kind of Washington discourse, a way of speaking about things in Washington, which is completely hypocritical and completely superficial, but every, shall we say, credible candidate for the presidency has to speak this way. And this is where I think we got into this problem with Reverend Wright. Whether what he was saying was true or false is almost immaterial. He was engaged in a type of discourse. He was speaking in a certain type of tone, which is simply not employed by anyone in Washington. And this is where I think Senator Obama got majorly tripped up. He took a type of discourse that occurs in the African-American church, mm-hmm. which is very performative, very emotional, full of hyperbole, full of exaggeration, and those remarks got sucked in and affixed to his person as a presidential aspirant. And this is where the problem, I think, began for him.
Andy, thank you for your call. Professor, thanks for joining us today, and thanks for a great book, Thumpin' It. It's out in soft cover, and it is published by WJK Books, and you can find it in your local independent bookstore or online if you have to. Thanks, Professor.
Thank you so much.
Good to talk with you. Coming up next, more of the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Last Taboo. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. In a campaign season that has been full of upsets and shattered glass ceilings, we got another surprise last week.
One of the great public servants, Governor Bill Richardson of New Mexico.
Former Clinton ally Bill Richardson endorsed Barack Obama, just as Obama was being threatened with the death of 1,000 sound bites, fueling rumors that Richardson might be an ideal VP for Obama. And suddenly, my spirit soared. Because here at last was someone ready to shatter the ultimate glass ceiling, to attack the final political taboo, and yes, to represent my people. Because if he runs for vice president, Bill Richardson would be the first national candidate in 100 years to run for office wearing a beard. Yes, there he was, wearing a modified Van Dyke, as people like me, people who've been lumped in with Lenin and Castro, or who are confined to radio because we don't shave, we just trim, finally saw someone who looks like us. We can thank pioneers like Ben Bernanke, Chuck Norris, Al Gore, off and on, for leading America to this moment. And you know, not only would Richardson be the first bearded national candidate in 100 years, he'd be the first Democratic candidate ever to run with a full beard. In fact, the only Democratic president with facial hair of any kind was Grover Cleveland, who had only a mustache. And actually, in 1888, although Cleveland won the popular vote, he lost in the Electoral College to the fully bearded Benjamin Harrison. Now you know why Hillary was so upset that she didn't get Richardson. Now this.
So, hon, how do you want your hair done?
Oh, I just want to try something really different.
Okay, well, if we trim your disorganized finances, layer your expenses, and give your late invoicing some body, you'll look just like a movie star.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why millions of businesses rely on QuickBooks software to easily handle routine chores, like organizing finances and tracking expenses, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a stylist, aren't you?
Award-winning.
QuickBooks. Get back to business. Start today at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there. And who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hambly, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
This one's for Johnny McCain.
Bomb, 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 Moran. Bomb, 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 it's bomb, Moran.
Try as I might, I have been unable to retire that song. And I recognize it offends people. Some folks really hate it. And at one point I made a pledge to stop playing it if 10 people sent me emails, but I've only gotten emails from 8 different individuals. Eric in San Francisco tried to load up the box last time. So it stays in rotation for now because John McCain continues to be in the news. He is the likely Republican nominee. Well, there's hardly any chance that anybody else can pick it up at this point. And he went to the Middle East last week and embarrassed himself repeatedly, unable to identify the different players in the conflict in Iraq and those who've gone to train in Iran and return. Robert Dreyfus is a contributing editor to The Nation, and he has a piece in the latest issue, the March 24 edition of The Nation, called Hothead McCain. Bob, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Peter. Always good to be here.
Well, and we got to spend some time together in Washington last week. It was a real pleasure, and thanks for hanging out with us at the Take Back America conference.
My pleasure. It's fun to hang out with you, and nice to have you on the East Coast.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and we got back in one piece. You probably heard the story of our flight back. Katrina got wedged in the middle seat between me and a very large man who heaved his Dulles breakfast all over the place. It was just awful. Other than that, we had a great time.
Did you have to pay extra for that, or what?
No.
That was all included in your price.
But you know what? I did get an email from JetBlue, and they felt badly that the TV system wasn't working on the outbound flight, and they gave me a $15 credit for my next flight. Isn't that nice of them?
That is pretty nice.
It was unexpected. Well, let's talk about McCain. You published this piece before he went to Iraq and other points in the Middle East on his spring break last week. And what you did is not so novel. You went and talked to a bunch of Republicans about their presumptive nominee, John McCain.
Yeah, well, everyone else is writing about the horse race and what McCain said about Obama and vice versa. I decided to actually write about what McCain thinks. And surprisingly enough, it turns up some interesting facts. And I went not just to, you know, talk about Republicans, but I went to McCain's speeches and writings and so forth, and tried to boil down where he stands on. This is an article about, you know, foreign policy and defense, not mm-hmm. about all aspects of policy. And I guess the conclusion that I came to is that McCain has clustered around himself many of the self same neoconservatives, hardliners, militarists who clustered around Bush in the first Bush term from 2001 to 2005.
And you list them. Bill Kristol, James Woolsey, former CIA director, Robert Kagan of the Kagan brothers, Max Boot, Gary Schmidt, and Major Ralph Peters.
And his chief advisor, the number one guy on top of that heap, is a guy named Randy Schuneman.
Mm-hmm.
Randy is now on McCain's staff as his chief foreign policy advisor. And I spoke to him at some length to try to discuss McCain's views. And Schuneman, I'm sure most of your listeners, I'd be shocked if 1% of them knew who he was, but he's a former aide to Trent Lott, was very close to Ahmed Shalabi and the neocons in the 1990s. he wrote the Iraq Liberation Act that initially institutionalized regime change for Baghdad 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and then founded the Committee for the Liberation of Iraq in the period before the war, with White House help from Steve Hadley and company.
Right.
Was also a founding member of the Project for a New American Century. So he's got a pedigree of Richard Perlness that stretches back many years. And basically what it comes down to is that McCain and Schuneman are intent on creating a whole series of new institutions for war. In other words, they see the country being in a perpetual war for the next generation or so with what they call the transcendent threat of radical Islamic extremism. And I guess that's different than moderate Islamic extremism.
Yeah, right.
But to combat this infinite threat, they're proposing a whole new series of institutions. They compare it really to the period after World War II when we had to create new institutions to fight the Cold War. That's when we built NATO and the IMF and the United Nations and all kinds of other institutions as part of the post-World War II era.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've got a new one and a new war, and this war is going to, basically preoccupy us for the foreseeable future, but certainly through the rest of, whatever 8 years McCain would have as president. And so that's what I'm basically focusing on, is he's not promising peace. He's pretty much explicitly promising war and preparing for it. And I find it somewhat scary, because if you combine his tendency to look to a military solution to most problems, it's like the old adage that if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Well, in McCain's case, all he thinks he has is the Pentagon, so everything looks like it has a military solution. If you combine that with his temperament, which is scary. He's a hothead. He's stubborn. Those two things, hotheadedness and, a penchant for using force, I think is all we need to know about what kind of foreign policy he'd have.
We're talking with reporter Robert Dreyfus from The Nation here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And let me lift this quote, Bob. In January, McCain famously said U.S. forces might end up staying in Iraq for 100 years. It's clear that for McCain, the occupation is not just about winning the war, but about turning Iraq into a regional base for extending U.S. influence throughout the region. According to the original neocon conception of the war, as promoted by people like Pearl and Michael Ledeen, Iraq was only a first step in redrawing the Middle East map. General Wesley Clark said recently that on the eve of the war, he was shown a Pentagon document that portrayed Iraq as the first in a series of operations to change regimes in Iran, Syria, Sudan, Libya, Somalia, and Lebanon. Now, that's a pretty that's a pretty ambitious list, Bob.
Yeah, and this idea of staying in Iraq for 100 years or however long it is really the original plan behind the invasion of Iraq. In other words, whatever else you want to say about WMD and everything else, the real goal of the invasion, in my view, was to create Iraq as a kind of permanent aircraft carrier for an American presence throughout the entire region, from Central Asia to East Africa. We've already got bases all over there, but this would be basically, a whole country that would be ours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what McCain is talking about. And Schuneman told me that explicitly, because I asked him, why do we have to stay in Iraq such a long time if Iraq calms down? And he said, here's the exact quote is what he told me. Iraq might be stable, but what about the region? Other countries could be in turmoil. Other countries could be threatening Iraq. It could be an external threat that we need to have troops there for. So the point he's making is exactly what I just said, that Iraq is intended to become a permanent base for the United States to control, influence, dominate the region. and deal with any and all threats that might emerge in Iraq or in all of its many strategically important neighbors. So, I think you have to give him points for being honest. But there it is. They want to stay in Iraq and run the Middle East. And that doesn't sit too well with, you know, the people who actually live over there.
Now, Bob, it seemed pretty clear that Rumsfeld thought that he would be in and out of Iraq almost as fast as he thought he would be in and out of Afghanistan. And then these other countries, a kind of Middle East domino effect, would fall into line or at least fall into compliance with this superior American military occupying force. But given the miscalculations to date, those that the president could not bear to utter in his five-year liberation speech last week, if McCain essentially brings us the third term of a Bush administration, would he attempt to complete this set of tasks that we've just been describing here that was laid out 6-7 years ago?
I think there's no doubt about that. And, you know, Rumsfeld may have thought we could get out of Iraq quickly, but that's with, you know, the bulk of our force. He didn't expect that we'd have to be fighting an armed resistance for 5 years. But certainly I don't think Rumsfeld or any of the people around him expected that we'd leave Iraq entirely, that we'd leave Iraq in the control of Ahmed Shalabi and his fellow cohorts in the Iraqi National Congress, and that they would welcome a long-term American presence. I think that was the original design, and I think that's where McCain wants to go. And if you look at his views on Iran, which are militant in the extreme, you know, threatening military action against Iran if it seems like they're on the verge of acquiring nuclear weapons, certainly he's been bellicose on Syria. He just went to Israel and lambasted the Palestinians while siding with Israel pretty much across the board. So I think it's clear that McCain sees the Middle East still as a map which needs to be redrawn. And I think he's more than willing to use force to get there.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you make of the incoherent statements that he made, then corrected after Joe Lieberman whispered in his ear, and then made again, and then had his handlers say, well, yeah, it's true, and the whole thing revolved around that he couldn't separate al-Qaeda from other foreign fighters who are in Iraq, and he was explicitly trying to summon those who are Shiite in their allegiances. Of course, al-Qaeda is Sunni, but Shiites who were slipping out of southern Iraq into Iran for military training and then coming back to contribute to the mayhem. He couldn't get the scorecard correct.
Yeah, it was embarrassingly stupid on McCain's part. Now, I have to say, most American policy members, most senators, most members of Congress really don't understand Iraq and Iran and Sunnis and Shiites and how it all works. And I'm sure if you woke them up in the middle of the night, or in fact, if you called them up pretty much in the afternoon, they wouldn't really be able to tell you.
Well, wait a minute. Sylvester Reyes knows now. When he was named chairman of the Intelligence Committee of the House, he couldn't tell the difference between Sunni and Shia. But
well, one of many. I mean, it's clear when you listen to them that they stumble all over this stuff. But the idea that McCain, who holds himself up as, you know, an expert on Iraq, who's been there 8 times, who knows everything about why we needed the surge, which he was the main architect of, to come out and say that Iran is bringing members of al-Qaeda into Iran and training them and then sending them back into Iraq is so extreme, so ludicrous, so out of touch with reality. And as you pointed out, he said it several times. You know, he may not make that mistake again, but it's a mistake that's so basic, that it's so fundamental, that it shows that he really doesn't understand the conflict there at all. He doesn't know who's fighting who. He doesn't know why they're fighting. And if you don't understand those things, you just have no business talking about supporting a surge or sending more troops there or really have anything to say at all about Iraq, except would somebody please explain this to me?
Robert Dreyfuss is with us. His new article about John McCain appears in The Nation. You can find it at thenation.com or go to his personal website at Robert Dreyfuss, Dreyfuss, robertdreyfuss.com. You got a comment? Bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon. Well, it all seems to be pedestrian-related stuff on Highway 1 right now. Let's start in Capitola, North Iowa 1, just past 41st Avenue, getting reports of two people hitchhiking. Not a good idea on Highway 1. CHP is going to head out there and possibly give them a ride to someplace other than their intended destination. Southbound 1 at the Fishhook on Highway 17. Looks like a transient out there on the bridge could be affecting the left lane. So already slow traffic there, and then you have that traffic hazard to deal with. Further up Highway 1 in Bonnie Doon, South Bonnie Doon Road, have an accident. Car went into a pole there. PG&E en route because the wires are down. Minor delays can be expected. Take advantage of huge savings during Mancini Sleep World Triple Bonus Mattress Sale. They'll beat anyone's advertised price by 10% or your mattress is free. Call 864-SLEEP or visit sleepworld.com. I'm David Bruce with traffic on KRXA 540.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain in your body. With six professionals, Cornerstone offers hormone balancing for men and women, all natural, no side effects. With our bodies filled with toxins and aches and pains, this approach works. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic neck pain for years. Trina Hammack uses a technique called quantum biofeedback, which to me is a miracle. I feel better and better each day, physically and mentally. Cornerstone offers lymphatic drainage, infrared saunas, ionic foot baths, massage, estheticians, and body strengthening specifically for your body so you'll start living pain-free naturally. Tired of taking medicine? Homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils are used. Finally, an alternative that works. Cornerstone Wellness Center, 1088 Cass Street, Monterey. Call today, 373-6204, 373-6204.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. A little music written by Woody Guthrie.
As I was walking over the highway, I saw above me and in the skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made.
Kicking off our program tomorrow, that's 3 o'clock Pacific time, in so many cases, Country Joe McDonald will join us. He is headlining a show, actually two shows now, in Sacramento on Thursday night, a tribute to Woody Guthrie with a lot of great musicians. And Country Joe will stop by tomorrow in our first hour. I invited him to bring his guitar, and so we'll see if he will perform for us. And the second show is Thursday night at Maryland's on K. That's 908 K Street in Sacramento. We continue now with journalist Robert Dreyfus. His article about John McCain is in the brand new issue of The Nation magazine. Maybe there's a new one. This one came in last week. March 24th is the cover date, and it's called Hothead McCain. And, Bob, talk a little bit about his temper and his temperament. You open the article with a quote from Thad Cochran. He said, "The thought of his being president sends a cold chill down my spine. He is erratic. He is hot-headed. He loses his temper, and he worries me," wrote Republican Senator Thad Cochran shortly before endorsing McCain. I mean, that's a beautiful setup right there.
Well, he is notorious in Washington for blowing up and screaming at his colleagues, at the Republicans, never mind the Democrats. And he's notorious for being stubborn. I spoke to Larry Wilkerson, who used to work for Colin Powell, and Colonel Wilkerson called him hard-headed, arrogant, hubristic, too proud for his own good. I mean, I think it's hard to find anybody in Washington who sees McCain as even tempered. He's got a long record of saying bombastic things, not just about Iran, but even in regard to real powers that could hurt us, like Russia. He said, you know, he doesn't care what President Putin, then President Putin of Russia, thinks about us putting missiles in Eastern Europe. So, I mean, all of this is worrisome, mm-hmm. because he seems, you know, to be trigger happy. He seems someone who is just itching to get his finger on the button, on the switch that can send our troops into battle.
And Bob, when you hear him embrace missile defense and putting these radars in Poland, I mean, it seems so ridiculous because we know that missile defense doesn't work. So who is he kidding, and is he doing the bidding of the aerospace companies that benefit most from the $110 billion that we have wasted on Star Wars to date?
Well, I don't know about the strategic value of putting these radar and missile systems in Eastern Europe. Certainly, there are defense contractors that make money on every weapons system and every program that we have. But I look at it more in terms of what kind of approach he has toward Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that you can bring countries like Georgia in the Caucasus near Central Asia, bring them into NATO, ride roughshod over Russian interests in that part of the world, and put these advanced defense systems in Eastern Europe, you're surrounding Russia with a military alliance that has no conceivable usefulness. There's no threat from Russia. There's no threat from Russia toward the Middle East or toward Europe. In fact, the Europeans are happily trading and building ties to the Russians. So, this means that he's sort of adopted whole hog this unilateralist approach that marked the Bush administration. And I should add that if you're going to, he says that he wants to use diplomacy with Iran as the first resort, but in order to get Iran to cooperate with any American diplomatic initiative, you need the Russians to go along as part of a united front to convince the Iranians that they ought to play ball. And if you alienate Russia, then Russia is going to drop out of that effort and will sit back and let the U.S. and Iran, lurch toward confrontation. So you're shooting yourself in the foot, making it virtually impossible to reach a diplomatic solution with Iran if you don't bring the Russians in. And of course, the same goes for China.
Now, Bob, just about a minute remaining. Talk a little bit about this new version of the Office of Strategic Services that McCain is proposing.
Yeah. It's in his Foreign Affairs article, and anybody who wants to read about it can read the quotes in my article or go to Foreign Affairs magazine. There's been a longstanding neocon critique of the CIA that it's too namby-pamby and risk-averse. What he wants to do is strip it down, pull out its covert operations unit, then beef that up, add to it a lot of psychological warfare and other kind of operations, and then, you know, set it loose in this unending war on terrorism.
So Dusty Fogo and Michael Scheuer without any limits, huh?
Yeah, you know, exactly. Just let these, you know, these tough guys loose. As an arm of presidential power, which, as you know, has, you know, only limited congressional oversight.
Yeah. Bob Dreyfus, thanks for joining us today. Read his article. It's at thenation.com or in the magazine itself. It's called Hothead McCain. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Coming up, the Free Speech Zone right here.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
The worst of the declines in housing sales may be over.
Correspondent Anthony Mason on the unexpected rebound in home sales last month.
The Northeast saw the biggest sales jump in February, up more than 11%. Sales were also up more than 2% in the Midwest and in the South, while sales fell slightly in the West. But nationally, home sales are still down nearly 24% from a year ago.
And some experts say prices could decline further before the market bottoms out. But the National Association of Realtors says buyers are beginning to respond to new opportunities, and it expects at least a modest pickup in sales this spring. People who allegedly preyed on distressed homeowners now face federal charges. CBS News reporter Stephanie Labadakis has that.
The alleged ringleader of this foreclosure rescue scam is a Southern California man named Charles Head, who is now in federal custody. Head and the 18 others under indictment allegedly played various roles in getting distressed homeowners to sign documents they thought would allow them to refinance, stay in their homes, and repair their credit. But instead of being rescued, they were financially ruined. Head scam started in California, but allegedly worked so well that he used it all across the country.
Bill McNaughton's son was one of the 4,000 killed in Iraq.
You follow orders. The president says you go, you go. What are you going to do?
Army Reserve Staff Sergeant James McNaughton was cut down by sniper fire on August 2nd. The president, who sent him and the others into harm's way, paid tribute today.
While offering deepest sympathies to the families of fallen Americans in Iraq, President Bush renewed his vow that those lives will not have been lost in vain and that the outcome merits the sacrifice.
You know, one day people will look back at this moment in history and say, thank God there were courageous people willing to serve because they laid the foundations for peace for generations to come.
Calling this a day of reflection, Mr. Bush said his strategies in Iraq are aimed at making sure victory is achieved. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Shuttle Endeavour and the International Space Station are about to go their separate ways, but their undocking has been delayed. Let's go live to the Kennedy Space Center and CBS News correspondent Peter King.
It's a space station problem, Bill. Endeavour was supposed to undock about 5 minutes ago, but they've not been able to lock down one of the sets of the station's solar power wings. They have to latch the assembly that tilts them toward the sun to avoid any possible damage from vibration during undocking. Now, Mission Control says it'll take about 15 minutes for the second try, and assuming they're able to do it, it shouldn't have much impact on the mission. But if they can't get it fixed, it may be a different story. Bill?
The market was higher today. The Dow Industrial's up 187 points to 12,548. The NASDAQ gained 68 points, and the price of oil declined further, down nearly a dollar to $100.86 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Buying a used car can be filled with pitfalls, but there's one sure way to avoid stumbling. Buy a Honda-certified used car. Only well-maintained late-model Hondas are eligible. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000 certified used Honda models. Feeling a little more sure-footed, aren't we? Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
People planning retirement worry about outliving their money, which is what's happened to a pair of robots exploring the surface of Mars. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
Designed to work for 3 months, they've been rolling on the surface of Mars for more than 3 years, taking pictures, collecting and analyzing soil samples. But running the two Mars rovers costs about $1.5 million per month, so one of the rovers will be put in hibernate mode, and the other rover will be less active. That's due to a $4 million budget cut at the space agency NASA. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
After an accident on an all-terrain vehicle 4 months ago, 21-year-old Zach Dunlop of Frederick, Oklahoma, was declared brain dead. Doctors prepared to remove his vital organs for transplant, but as family members were saying a final goodbye, Dunlop moved. He's now almost fully recovered and says he feels pretty good for a guy who was a goner. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Got a question. What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo! Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Thought so. Honda Certified Used Cars. It's the next best thing to new.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
Hi, I'm the director of a medical center that just added Aflac to the benefits we provide for our employees. It's been a very welcome addition. With Aflac, our benefits package is more like a bundle of joy. In fact, everyone at the hospital can sleep easy knowing we have
Aflac, Aflac, Aflac.
Call 1-800-99-AFLAC or go to aflacforbusiness.com. American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
As we launch into the free speech zone, we just checked the First Amendment has not been voided. Your calls and comments welcome. Any topic, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Obama, Clinton, McCain, their pastors, their religious views. And have they sufficiently renounced and denounced the ravings of their pastors? My lines are open for you right now. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B. You got that number? 1-888-573-8255. 800-800-8372. I understand it's necessary to give you all the digits, especially people who have those fancy new iPhones, because they don't do the letter to number conversion for you. 888-573-8372. Just a quick correction from last hour. About 20 minutes or so ago, I told you that tomorrow we'll kick off the show with Country Joe McDonald. He'll be here in the studio. We invited him to bring his guitar, so we'll see if we can get some live music out of Country Joe. But I misspoke. The sold-out show is this Thursday night at the 24th Street Theater in Sacramento. The second show has been added 1 month hence. That's Thursday, April 24th. And that show is at Maryland's on K Street at 908 K Street, and tickets are now available at the website marylandsonk.com, or I imagine you can stop by the venue and pick them up. But I did want to clarify that, and I'm looking forward to having Country Joe on the program with us tomorrow. If I confused you, will you forgive me?
Excuse me.
Today we mark a grisly milestone. Last week, 5 years in Iraq with this illegal and inadvised, immoral occupation. Today we cross the line to the 4,000th American casualty. And we honor those who have given their lives in this misguided effort. And we ask, as Springsteen has in a song on his new release, who will be the last to die for this mistake? I hope it will not be your child. And I'm comforted that my stepson is in graduate school and has shown no interest in volunteering to serve in our military at this time. But the recruiters are still very active, and they're armed now with more signing bonuses and more ways of influencing, persuading, and sometimes manipulating young people into joining one of the military services. Dave Meserve has had enough. He served on the Arcata City Council, and now he is leading an effort to pass the Arcata Youth Protection Act. They're out gathering signatures right now. Dave, welcome to our program today. Nice to talk with you again. And I want to give out the website StopRecruitingKids.org. What is it that moved you to start this effort, Dave?
Well, you know, you look at this war that's now been going on for 5 years, and one wonders, since the all of America, or at least a large majority, seem opposed to that war, why it keeps going. And if you really look at it, you say, what is it? What effect has it had on you and me and those of us, at least, you know, who go to work every day and go shopping and so on? And the answer is very little effect. Our credit cards still work at our favorite big box if we go there, and our cars still work even though gas is more expensive. But what is it that this war is actually doing? I mean, obviously our taxes are going to it, though actually it's the taxes of our kids and our grandkids that are paying for the war. But where it really touches home, I think, is in the recruiting and the fact that there are recruiters in our schools and calling people's homes every day trying to get kids to join up into the Army, the Air Force, the Marines, and trying to get them to fight in this immoral and illegal war.
Mm-hmm. And, Dave, I believe it was the No Child Left Behind Act, correct me if I'm wrong, that included a clause that basically can penalize public schools that don't permit recruiters to come on their campuses.
Yeah, and I was thinking about, you know, how do we get around this? Because the No Child Left Behind Act states that no school board can pass any regulation that restricts the access of military recruiters below the access afforded to college or job recruiters. And it occurred to me that what really is the most offensive of all is the fact that these recruiters are there recruiting kids. Kids who do, according to a recent study, the frontal lobes of the brain don't develop until about age 20 fully. They're not, we certainly have consensus that kids under 18 don't vote, that kids under 18 can't sign legally binding contracts, and yet they are being pursued and quite avidly pursued by military recruiters. So it occurred to me that maybe what we could do is rather than keep them out of the schools, we could actually prohibit recruiting any person under the age of 18. And that's what we're going to be doing here in Arcata. We have a ballot initiative that will pass an ordinance to that effect, and we're also attempting to get the same ordinance on the ballot in neighboring Eureka, California.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dave, isn't it likely that the feds will seek an injunction and say that federal law preempts this kind of a local ordinance?
It's certainly possible that they will. I think we're very likely to be able to pass this ordinance. And it's hard to tell. We've had comments from recruiters who say that they don't recruit kids under 18 anyway. But we know that that isn't true. Obviously, no one can enlist until they're 18. But when we say recruiting, we mean all of the activities that are designed to entice them to join the military. And those start as early as 14, 15, 16. And if the feds do challenge this, we have several legal tracks that we will plan on taking, one of which is that the federal law does not have any minimum age designated below which they do not recruit.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they don't set a minimum age at all. They can, under federal law, supposedly, they could recruit down to the age of 8 or 9. So what we're saying is that we have the right here in Arcata, and that anyone in any city across this country has the right to set community standards. And we're suggesting that 18 is a rational community standard below which recruiters should not be able to entice our youth.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that you will also run afoul of junior ROTC and programs of that nature that do appear to be operating under the law? I'm not a fan of ROTC, but I do understand that the way it is structured, it appears to be legal, and they appear to have kind of foisted it on school boards and made it difficult for them to drop it.
That remains to be seen whether this will affect the ROTC or not. Really, our main focus is on preventing military recruiters from initiating contact with minors for the purpose of recruiting. And that's the language that we have in the ordinance. And you should notice that this does nothing to prohibit people of any age who might wish to initiate that contact with the recruiters themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to step in the way of people's freedom of choice, even if it's the sort of choice that we would not advise kids to exercise.
Well, I respect that. Now, Dave, have you had any egregious recruiting practices active in Humboldt County that caused you to want to put a stop to them? Or is this a general issue that you see maybe from watching the recruiters in, say, Fahrenheit 9/11, Michael Moore's film?
I haven't personally. Well, actually, I did. I was in a coffee shop one day, and I saw a recruiter walk in with three high school girls, buy them a nice sweet coffee drink, sit down with them, and as I started fuming, I gave madder and madder, I went over to the table where they were sitting and gave them a phone number so they could contact some Veterans for Peace, and I said, you should call this number before you sign up. And the recruiter broke in to say, oh, no, I'm a National Guard recruiter, and I'm assuring these young ladies that they would never have to serve in Iraq. And then as I've been standing in front of supermarkets collecting signatures here in Arcata, I hear story after story from both parents and from kids about recruiters persisting in calling at home, recruiters walking up to kids on the street and engaging them in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And, it goes on across the country, and I don't think any town, no matter how liberal it may be politically, is exempt by it.
Here's Dave in Eureka who wants to support your efforts. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air with Dave Meserve.
Very much I do support Dave's efforts, and I'm hoping he will make it clear how others can get involved in helping out right now, however it gets support.
Okay.
I was thinking we will maybe keep a handful of the petitions at the flagpole on Friday evenings, and people that would want to help out could stop by there and get one.
All right.
We could find other places.
Okay, Dave, thank you. Dave, what is the best way for people to get involved?
People can get involved by going to our website, and on the contact page there are phone numbers which will put you in contact with people who are out gathering signatures right now. And anyone who wants to gather signatures, we certainly could use more volunteers. We're doing really well in Arcata in meeting our goal and shouldn't have any problem there, but we do need especially more volunteers in Eureka.
Okay, and what is your goal in terms of total signatures to gather?
We want, just to be completely safe and make sure we make the November ballot, we need about 1,500 in Arcata and about 1,600 or 1,700 in Eureka.
All right. Well, Dave, again, the website, stoprecruitingkids.org, stoprecruitingkids.org. Thanks for what you're doing.
Okay, well, thank you very much for having me on your show.
You bet. Nice to talk with you. That's Dave Meserve, used to serve on the city council in Arcata. We're going to go to the phones next. The free speech zone wide open for you. 888-5-PETER-B. I've got lines available, so don't be shy. Pick up your phone and call 888-573-8372. More straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Cynthia from Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
You Good afternoon. Our biggest problem right now is going to be Carmel Valley Road at Phelps Way. That's just down the road from Lorella's Grave. Had an accident. Carmel Valley Road was shut down completely for about 15 minutes. They've got one lane open right now, so that means one-way traffic control and some delays either directions in and out of Carmel Valley Village. Other than that, should be an okay commute right now. Just your normal slowdown. Southbound 1 heavy leaving the Fishhook down into Capitola and Aptos. Highway 1 also a bit heavy in the Monterey area, but so far doing okay. Southbound 101 had a fender bender in Morgan Hill at Cochran. That should be out of the way. Lane should be cleared and a bit busy through Prunedale on 101 also, but no big issues at the moment. Act Restoring Mouthwash is a three-act mouthwash. Act 1 kills germs. Act 2 restores minerals to soft spots. And Act 3 strengthens tooth enamel with two times harder. Be sure to get Act Restoring Mouthwash. I'm David Bruce with traffic on KRXA 540.
Those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo!
Yes, I think this Bible thumping has gone too far. The presidential campaign this year. We got some interesting comments last hour from Jacques Berliner Blau at Georgetown. And I was a few seconds late rolling the music here to get back into this segment because I was distracted by an email that I just noticed that came in about 20 minutes ago. It says, Democrats looking for a way out are considering a new idea, an unprecedented mini-convention of super-delegates in order to bring the punishing presidential season to an early close. And the idea is that a mini-convention would be held right after Puerto Rico takes the final primary in June, and the superdelegates then would finish it off. Very interesting. It's the first I've seen of this. Let me know your thoughts about it at 888-5 Peter B. Billy Sunshine's on the line. Hi, Billy.
Hey, Peter B. I think that idea actually came from the Tennessee Democratic chairman.
From the governor of Tennessee, Phil Bredesen.
Has
suggested it to the New York Times, it says here. I'm just catching up on this. This is the first I've heard.
Well, see, what I haven't heard is how was he, what was the response of the party? I haven't heard that yet. That's what I want to know. It's a great idea.
I'm reading on here. Obama said it's interesting. Claire McCaskill, Senator of Missouri, Charles Schumer, Senator of New York, said the idea might have merit. So it's just surfacing, and people are starting to noodle on it.
Well, here's what I called about. I'll set out a thesis. Tell me what you think.
All right.
I've just become so disgusted by the Clintons and the way they're running against Obama that if it keeps up, and if, you know, if they deny the black man the position by, you know, their special manipulation because they've been there before and all that,
mm-hmm.
I basically would suggest to you that this is not a party we can support going further, and it's sort of in the way, and that we need to destroy the Democratic Party so we can make something better in its place.
Well, Billy, you know, it's interesting because I'm hearing these attitudes harden, and the kind of the same message is coming from the Clinton side. And it's mind-boggling in many respects because, of course, Obama's in the lead. He has not clinched the nomination. I am very candid about that. But mathematically, Hillary Clinton cannot win under the current patterns with uncommitted delegates.
And the least we can expect of her is that she runs against Obama in a way that it does not destroy his chances, as he is the probable Democratic nominee under 9 out of 10 scenarios.
So can you get through to Bill and shut him up?
Clearly you can't.
I mean, Bill was at it again on Friday, where he is praising John McCain to the frickin' rafters. And, you know, he acts as if it's all set. Hillary has won the primary, and it's clear that she will be running against McCain.
Well, he's artful. I mean, he was able to say two things. He was able to say that, well, you know, John McCain, I mean, wouldn't it be great to see John McCain and Hillary Clinton running? We know these people are patriotic.
Yeah.
And we don't want that other baggage anyway, do we really? You know, do you really want to deal with the race issue, white folks?
Well, and Billy, I'm about to say something distasteful, but I think it needs to be said.
Oh, do it. I love saying distasteful things.
I've got these lovely Republican neighbors, and they've been watching Fox News because I heard Hank repeat the talking point that came off of Fox News, and that is that in a speech last Tuesday that Barack Obama took his white grandmother from the back of the bus and threw her under it.
Yep.
All right. Have you heard that phrase kicking around?
From
right.
Fox, yeah.
Now, first of all, if she was white, she wouldn't have been in the back of the bus. Secondly, I don't believe he threw her under it. But Hank went on to say that he could accept Obama, but he can't tolerate the porch monkeys who will come along with him.
He said porch monkeys.
He did.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And this has unleashed the kind of racism that was bubbling under the surface. And that people were too polite and politically correct to utter. But now that they have...
the Republicans can do it now, well, and not be called names, because they can point to Hillary and Bill doing it.
And they have a demon in the form of Jeremiah Wright, who scares enough white people that it permits this this lapse of political correctness. And it brings out the true hate speech. And it gives me pause. Because I'm not really sure if this virus can be eradicated in the next few months between now and November. And once unleashed, it's really hard to get that proverbial genie back in the bottle.
Yeah, thanks. We're on the cliff's edge here, my friend.
Thank you, Billy. What? More calls coming up next. I want to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B. Lines open. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
March Madness has struck all-class transportation in Marina. Through March 29th, all-class transportation is offering ridiculously low rates to travel in the ultimate in comfort and style. Rent an all-class transportation 8-passenger limousine for the bargain basement price of $55 an hour. A 6-passenger luxury SUV goes for just $50 an hour. And you can enjoy the plush surroundings of a 4-passenger luxury sedan for the low, low price of $45 per hour. The minimum rental time, just 1 hour. Call All Class Transportation, TCP number 22978-A at 831-582-9338 or email John and John at allclasstrans@att.net. Times are yard to yard. Gratuity is not included, and vehicles will be rented subject to availability. Remember, for all your transportation needs, call Marina-based All Class Transportation at 582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays,
following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, the Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Continuamos de Peter B. Collins.
La reina de la noche, la diosa del vudú. Yo no podré salvarme, podrás salvarte tú.
We are in vivo, all the way live on the Peter B. Collins Show.
La tela de la araña, la uña del dragón. Te lleva a los infiernos, ella es tu adicción. Te besa y te desnuda con su baile. Cierras los ojitos y te dejas arrastrar.
I got a bunch of lines open on the switchboard right now here in the free speech zone. It's Easter Monday, a holiday for some people. Some schools are out and some people are on alternate schedules. I understand that. That creates an opportunity for first-time callers. Those of you who've been hanging back because you think the lines are all jammed up or the regulars are hogging the lines. No, it's wide open for you, so I want to invite you, if you've never called the program before, check in with us today and let me know what's on your mind. One thing you could talk about is Bill Richardson's endorsement of Barack Obama. He did it on Friday, Good Friday, in Portland, Oregon. And James Carville, not known to me as a religious person, invoked the Good Friday scene, the Last Supper, and said that Bill Richardson is Judas. He made some reference to 30 pieces of silver. That, of course, is the biblical story of Judas betraying Jesus. And when you hear that, doesn't it make you just a little bit uncomfortable? I mean, for Richardson to be Judas means that Hillary is, oh, the Messiah. And I hear many Hillary supporters invoke that term Messiah to describe Barack Obama. And I'm sorry, this is really getting too low. I don't believe that James Carville had to make that comment. And certainly, the Clintons are very disappointed. Bill Clinton went out to Santa Fe to watch the Super Bowl with Bill Richardson. Thought he had him all tied up. And Richardson has shown his independence, and in responding to the Judas epithet, he said, yeah, you know those people around Senator Clinton? I don't like what they're doing. I don't like the tone that they have set. Mark Penn, I think, had a good political comment. He said, well, this endorsement may not mean much because it's kind of late. New Mexico's already voted. That's where, presumably, Bill Richardson might have the most impact. That's fair. That's honest. That's rational. But did Carville have to go to the depths of comparing Governor Richardson to Judas? I'm offended by that, and I'm offended by the mindset that looks at this situation and says, we're number two, and the way to win is to bloody Barack Obama, to trivialize, marginalize everything that surfaces related to him. And you do note that despite all the nasty mud that's being slung, the Clintons aren't talking about Jeremiah Wright. And when I looked at this picture that was published in Friday's New York Times and read it again, I had not realized in the first reading that it was the Obama campaign who supplied the New York Times with the picture of Jeremiah Wright shaking hands with Bill Clinton at a prayer breakfast at the White House in 1998, just hours before Ken Starr's report on the Monica Lewinsky scandal was being made public. So, yeah, it's a mess, and it's slimy, and I hope that we're able to get back on track and not leave us in a situation where this primary has destroyed either Obama or Clinton, and as a result, they lose to McCain in the fall. Boy, that would be the ugliest possible scenario. Mike in Fair Oaks, thanks for calling and holding on. You're next in the free speech zone here.
No, that would be a huge loss for all of us if McCain were to assume the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
A positive thing today, I heard that the federal district court in D.C., I assume, ruled that the National Park Service violated our First Amendment rights during the inauguration. They denied access to protesters to some of the parade route, and the Answer Coalition
mm-hmm.
has finally prevailed in this case. I don't know what the penalty is going to be for the National Park Service.
Yeah.
To me, at least, that's a little encouraging. You mentioned the New York Times, and the piece in the New York Times Magazine, Supreme Court Inc., this last Sunday, was just fascinating to me.
Haven't read it yet.
I'm a Ralph Nader supporter. I have been for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
But Theodore Olson, who won the Bush v. Gore decision from the Supreme Court.
That's right, and he's now Solicitor General.
Yes. The discussions about him in this article are very interesting, relative to Nader and how what a formidable foe for Nader's endeavors that Olson has been, along with the rather large Chamber of Commerce operation that's going on in our courts.
Mm-hmm. Now, why does Olson have it in for Nader? Nader should be seen by Olson as a spoiler who helps Republicans.
Well, I think the contrast made in this article is that Olson, if there is such a thing, is the anti-Nader. That is, he is carrying on four organizations and has been, which are very corporate-oriented.
Sure. No, I can see that. I don't know that he actually defended General Motors over the Corvair, but you can imagine he's on their short list.
Yes. Peter B., I had an issue for the doctor, but I wasn't able to ask him a question about Obama's church.
Uh-huh.
Because I see another big problem looming out there for the candidate Obama.
Tell me.
And that is that this church, according to what I've read, has a real strong history of Pan-Africanism.
Mm-hmm.
And to the extent that I haven't seen that surface anywhere yet in the mudslinging that's going on over the Reverend Wright, the focus on the church itself and its one of its core themes
mm-hmm.
being Pan-Africanism. And it concerns me because George Bush's father, as a mid-level CIA agent, was responsible for ending the Pan-African movement in Africa when he was in the CIA, almost single-handedly. And that got him catapulted into the head of the CIA. And racism at the highest levels of the Bush family and its supporters translates to Pan-Africanism. These people want the riches of Africa, and they cannot allow Pan-Africanism to succeed. And I think that's the next subject that they'll be going after Obama on relative to this church that he's been a member of for so long.
Well, that's interesting, and I'll certainly keep that in mind. I don't know if you heard my conversation with Professor Berliner Blau.
I did.
But he hinted, without, and when I asked for specifics, he refused, that there is more in the Obama right slime box that they will try to peddle to us. And, you know, I'll just have to evaluate it when it surfaces. And I do understand the damage that this can cause.
You have the best guests on television and radio and every other media, as far as I'm concerned. They're very knowledgeable, and they bring us information that I can't get anywhere else, literally.
Well, I'm really pleased to hear that, and let's blame Katrina, because she's the one who gets our great guests every day.
Give her a hand.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. We're supposed to give her a hand, but it's over here on this one, and oh boy, where is my applause? Here we go. It takes so long to find it. Angelina, listening on KRXA in Monterey, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. I just turned around on Del Monte Avenue because I'm going to join the group that's commemorating the 4,000 dead and calling for an end to this war here in Monterey on Del Monte Avenue across from the lake near the wharf.
Okay.
So I think it'd be great if other people help join. The crowd is growing. It's a very nice crowd with the Peace Coalition. I'm reading the signs right now. War is not the answer. Stop the war. Bring them home. 4,000 dead. Sad, sad, sad.
Yeah.
So please.
Well, thank you for calling in to let people know. I assume this is a spontaneous effort. And
very spontaneous.
Right by
the wharf.
I certainly support that. And so if you're in the Monterey area or can come over from PG or Seaside or even Marina, I encourage you to join them there. And thank you, Angelina.
Thank you, Peter.
Okay. Now to Catherine in Sacramento, listening on 1240 KSAC. Hi, Catherine.
Yeah, hi, Peter. I really appreciate the tone of your show, and I listen to it every afternoon that I possibly can. I wanted to say that my initial observation that I haven't heard anyone else make of the debates between Hillary and Barack are that she has been rude to him in the debates, that he has been gentlemanly, and we ought to expect that she, as a parallel candidate, employ at least as much courtesy toward him and recognition of him as a valuable man as he has been displaying toward her.
Well, she's kind of run hot and cold, and there have been times when she was rather effusive and surprising in her praise in Hollywood and the Texas one-on-one debates. She was much less contentious toward him and seemed to feel that her best route was to praise him and acknowledge how historic this is and then try to differentiate herself in a positive way. So she seems to have occasionally embraced that kind of an instinct. But I can't prove this, but from my perspective, it's her husband and Mark Penn and people like James Carville who keep telling her, go for the jugular, draw blood. And fundamentally, when I look at this, it's fairly simple in the calculus of politics, and that is that her negatives are historically very high. They remain very high. When you poll Republicans, independents, and people who have any prayer of crossing over to vote for a Democrat in the fall, her negative numbers are very high with those groups. And so they have taken the calculation, I believe, that the only way for Hillary to prevail in this is to destroy Barack Obama by driving up his negatives in any possible way. And this is a replay of what Bill Clinton so powerfully rejected in 1992. Do you remember the politics of personal destruction? That was basically raised to try to damp down the fires caused by Jennifer Flowers and some of the other folks from Arkansas. But anybody who picked up on those themes and used them was accused of the politics of personal destruction. And I asked Clinton supporters, isn't that what we're seeing from Billy Shaheen's drop of cocaine and drug references to the Geraldine Ferraro comments and to the intentional remarks of the candidate herself? in dismissing Barack Obama's experience and embracing that of John McCain. And if you heard our interview with Bob Dreyfus last hour
yes.
about John McCain, then to hear Bill and Hillary Clinton praising this man is as dangerous as it is politically misguided.
And it's also unchristian. I think that James Carville trying to evoke a vision of Judas betraying Christ is just about as far from the truth as anything could be.
Yeah.
And I remember, I mean, I know that we have listeners that are not Christian, but the admonition in the New Testament money was that even if you weren't religious, that you wanted to think was true, honest, just, pure, clean, and lovely, and of good report. And what Barack's mother said when he was a little boy as an admonition for his behavior, how would that make you feel? And if you think about that, what, Barack coming up as a black man whose father left when he was two and who has managed to exalt himself through nothing but hard work and character, that it's undeserved and we ought to not put up with it for one more minute.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. We're going to run to a break and take more calls. There's room for you. You can jump on and get on quick at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Country Joe McDonald kicks off our show in the first hour tomorrow, and we'll talk about his tribute to Woody Guthrie. It sold out in Sacramento on Thursday night.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon. Things getting a bit better out there. We still have one accident, Carmel Valley Village. Carmel Valley Road, west of Phelps Way, near Lorella's Grade, was an accident that was blocking both directions for about 15 minutes. They've had one-way control traffic in effect for about 40 minutes after that. Should be in the final clearing stages. Traffic reportedly starting to move now, but you might have some delays getting through the area. Other than that, Highway 1 should be a bit busy both directions through Carmel. Monterey traffic looks pretty good. Southbound 1 through Santa Cruz, heavy leaving the Fishhook as you head down towards 41st Avenue and beyond. Highway 17 seems like a pretty good ride this afternoon as you head over the summit down into Scotts Valley. For powerful arthritis pain relief, reach for Capsaicin. It contains the number one doctor and pharmacist recommended topical ingredient. Next time arthritis pain flares up, get odor-free, long-lasting Capsaicin. I'm David Bruce with traffic on KRXA 540.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey and Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
riding this train in vain? It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Taking your phone calls here in the Free Speech Zone. Nina is on the line.
Hi.
From Sacramento. Go ahead, Nina. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you. I was calling in regards to the whole issue with Reverend Wright or Block's pastor. And my concern is that, you know, if you look at the words or you listen to the words or you read the words of what this pastor said in his sermon, was he lying when he made the statement? Were the statements wrong, or are people getting caught up in the tone, and especially white America, who probably doesn't frequent black churches, mm-hmm. and understand that that's just the way black churches roll, you know, the tone, that they're putting him out to be this angry, you know, psycho preacher who hates white people when white people attend his church, and, you know, all these other things, just to make Barack look as though as soon as he becomes president, he'll turn the black people loose on America. You know, it's just so ridiculous, the kind of propaganda that America is falling for.
Well, you're absolutely correct, Nina, and let me just tick off a couple of things. There are hundreds of Bible-based radio stations across the country, and I got my start. Okay, my very first job in radio was at WAKW, a religious station in my hometown of Cincinnati. And this is back in the, way back there, late 60s, okay? And we had these, you know, just a parade of these preachers who would come on with fire and brimstone, the call and response. Some of these guys, I'll try to mimic it for you. My Lord Jesus! With his heavy breathing. And they scream and they speak in tongues and people stand. These are white preachers, okay? and the Southern Baptist Convention is loaded with these characters who teach, you know, Old Testament, Bible-thumping, fire and brimstone, instant judgment day kind of religion. And nobody bats an eye. And, you know, certainly, you know, for the average white guy, they've never been to a black church. They've never been exposed to Pastor Wright or Amos Brown in San Francisco, who Willie Brown put on the board of supervisors. And he's a very conservative guy, scared to death of homosexuals. And these are the kind of people who get passed off as, you know, kind of ordinary. And I think that, I guess we're going to have to go into overdrive here and dig up the videotapes of the white preachers who go too far and play a neener, neener, neener game.
The other concern is that a lot of these issues are social. Racism is not political. It's social because it affects people in their home life, in their you know, the things they do on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just political. And black churches historically have discussed social issues that are oppressing African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And not in the context that, you know what, hey, they did that to us, let's go do it to them. It's where people get nourished, where they get their strength to fight that next week, to deal with that issue the next day, the next time.
Mm-hmm.
And to turn that into something that it's not because you don't understand it, and your experience in America has not been the same as an African-American, is really unfortunate.
Well, and Nina, the churches and their pastors are social workers. They are community leaders. They provide a whole support system for the community that goes beyond the Bible and religion. And so, yes, they get involved in social movements, and they try to fix social problems through a political process. The white churches are content to preach a fairly narrow agenda of personal morality and, you know, Bible-based teachings. And if enough money comes in the collection plate, and I'm not trying to demean white pastors. There are many who provide the same social work and community networks that blacks do. But I just think that the blacks are being singled out for visibility and criticism at this time, and we're going to have to see, you know, exactly where all this goes. Thanks a lot for your call today. I think this is Jen in Sacramento, right?
It is. Hi.
Hey, Jen. I'm glad to hear from you. And can I just tell you, you told me so.
Okay.
You did.
I did.
Well, yeah, that race would be a factor, and that we are not post-racism in this country.
Exactly. And so I'm glad that you now recognize it and we can move on, hopefully.
I'd like to, but I'm afraid they won't let us.
I don't think so either. But I want to throw out my personal conspiracy with all of this.
Go.
Okay, we know that the Congress, the Senate, all of them have not done anything about Bush and all his illegal activity, and I've always said that they're all in it together type of thing. Now, what if they set up this scenario where the two most unlikely candidates, a woman and a black man, would be the forerunners to ensure that we have McCain in the office?
That goes too far for me. But you know what, Jen? I can't rule it out. Wackier things have happened. Bigger conspiracies have been pulled off.
Exactly. Have
All
a
right.
good one.
Thank you, sister. I'm going to ride off into the sunset. If you're in Monterey, go to the peace march that's broken out there commemorating 4,000 Americans lost in Iraq. Thank you for listening. We'll do this again tomorrow. Join me if you can.
Keep smiling until then.
We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, to the contrary. My girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène, which is, again, something that people make in the south of France, pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins and...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
On this day of reflection, I offer our deepest sympathies to their families.
President Bush paused to reflect on the 4,000 U.S. military personnel killed in Iraq. He vowed that as long as he's president, he'll make sure that those lives were not lost in vain.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington. 4,000 dead. Sad, but not shocking to most Americans, says John Alterman at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
This is a war that seems to be going on somewhere very, very far away, not really affecting life in the United States.
Dana Lamberson's life is affected. She lost her husband, her friend, her handyman.
He was the one that went around and put every nail in the wall.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A surprising report from the National Association of Realtors. Home sales nationally rose nearly 3% in February.
I think it's too soon to say that we've hit bottom, but we are starting to see some signs that maybe the bottom isn't too far away.
Economist Nigel Gault of Global Insight. While sales are picking up, CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says prices might not have bottomed out yet.
House prices have been declining at a huge rate. The median house price is down more than 8% from a year ago.
And prices might not rebound till 2010. After a delay, Shuttle Endeavour has separated from the International Space Station to begin its trip home. CBS News correspondent Peter King is live at the Kennedy Space Center.
Undocking and the ship's bell came late just over a half hour ago because of a space station glitch. But now that problem and the station are in the proverbial rearview mirror. Station Commander Peggy Whitson sounds like she misses the shuttle crew already.
Thanks a bunch, and especially thanks for being such great guys.
that.
Now pilot Greg Johnson is flying the shuttle around the station. They'll back off for good in about 46 minutes. They're due back here in 46 hours, Bill.
Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick refuses to resign and says he'll be vindicated, but right now he's in serious trouble. CBS News correspondent Deed Reynolds has the story.
At 38, Kwame Kilpatrick is the youngest mayor in Detroit's history. Once an up-and-coming star, he now has another less welcome distinction.
Perjury in a court proceeding, a 15-year felony.
Prosecutors charged Kilpatrick with eight felonies, alleging he